You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
We are so glad we're connected with Cyprus today as well. Welcome, Cyprus. And here at The Loop, we're so excited about today. Turn to Ruth chapter 2 if you got your Bible. Ruth chapter 2, it's in kind of the beginning parts of the Old Testament. Don't be afraid to look in the table of contents and find your way. No problem with that at all. We've been journeying through Ruth. We did Ruth chapter 1 last week, Ruth 2 this week. Then we'll do 3 and 4 in the subsequent weeks as well. And so we've been journeying through this chapter or this book of Ruth, and we've been using flowers symbolically. It's in the artwork on your listening guide as well, of looking at these flowers. Last week was violets, because they symbolize faithfulness. And this week we have forget-me-nots, which are symbolizing commitment and devotion. Now, somebody asked me, like, I've been looking through the book of Ruth. I can't find anything about flowers in the book of Ruth. We made this part up, all right? It's not found in the scripture. We're just using this as illustration of what we see in the scripture, all right? So we have these forget-me-nots here with me to be able to symbolize the beauty of Ruth. We're going to see more than her commitment just to her mother-in-law. We're going to see her commitment to God. We're going to see God bring blessings. We're going to have six things that we're going to look at today. And so I'm going to be moving fast. Six things. I hope you'll grab your listening guide that make us blessable. Now, that's kind of a word I made up in a way. Blessable. Think about that. I want to be in a position that God can bless me, that he can trust me with things, that he can do favorish things in my life. I don't want to be humbled by God. I want to be humble before God. In our daily devotional that we're doing as a church just a couple days ago, June 6th, it said this, God is drawn to those who are humble, hungry for him, brokenhearted, single-minded, pure-hearted, and willing to believe what he says. And then even just this morning, it said this, which I thought was great. Good things come to those who aren't ruined by them. Good things come to those who aren't ruined by them. And so we're going to see here that Ruth, these six things that I'm going to give you, are making her blessable, if you will, because she's going to receive, but she's not going to take it and hoard it. She's going to receive and she's going to be a giver with it. So we want to be blessable, if you will. Not so we can just get a bunch of stuff for ourselves. I'm not talking about health, wealth kind of stuff. I'm talking about having a heart that says, Lord, I want you to use me. I want to be a trustable person so that God, the things that you give me, I use them back for your glory. I don't take them as my own. I give them back to you and say, God, get even more glory from what you've done in my life. I want to be blessable. So these six things I'm going to show you in just a second from the book of Ruth. But here's what's fun about the book of Ruth. We're going to see Ruth meet Boaz today. That's a great thing. Boaz is the kinsman redeemer. Boaz is going to end up, spoiler alert, he's going to end up being her husband later on. So this is the moment that we see them meet. It's the movie moment where the guy meets the girl and we're all excited about it and they make it, big music swells and all of those things. Do you know they have a term for that? They've been using it since at least 1941 in Hollywood. It's called the meet cute moment. That's what they call it. The meet-cute moment. You know what those moments are. You can look at it in Romeo and Juliet when they finally meet. It's the meet-cute moment. It's the meet-cute moment in the movie Up from years ago where they meet together as little kids and they end up getting married and then spending the rest of their lives together. It's the meet-cute moment in Cinderella at the ball. There they are, and they meet, and it's that meet-cute moment. It was the meet-cute moment when I was making a hamburger, and Kelly was in line next to me. That's where it was, right there. Nothing real fancy, just mustard and ketchup. And I just stood there for 30 minutes, just kept putting mustard and ketchup on my hamburger. So I just keep talking to her. It was awesome. It was great. That's the meet-cute moment. We're going to see Ruth and Boaz. They're going to meet in verse 5. It's more than a cute couple. It's the provision of God. It's God doing something in his sovereignty. So let's jump in into Ruth chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Grab your listening guide. We're about to put the pedal down. Here we go, verse 1 and 2. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side. That's just perfect. He was a prominent man of noble character. That's the same Hebrew word to describe the woman in Proverbs 31, a woman of noble character. from Elimelech's family, and his name was Boaz, which means strength. Ruth was a Moabitess and asked, Ruth the Moabitess asked Naomi, her mother-in-law, "Will you let me go to the fields and gather fallen grain behind someone with whom I find favor?" And Naomi answered, "Go ahead, my daughter." Here's your first point. If we're going to be blessable, take the initiative to contribute. Take the initiative to contribute. So here's Ruth. Now, to catch you up on last week, Naomi has lost her husband. Her daughter-in-law is Ruth, and Orpah's gone and done something else. She's left and gone back to Moab to worship false gods and such. And so Naomi has lost her husband and two sons, and her daughter-in-law, Ruth, is going with her. So here they are going back into Israel. They've been in a foreign land because they were disobedient to God, basically. And they're coming back now, and how are they going to be provided for? It's two widows. And in that society, that's a very, very lack of provision level of society. And so they're going to be provided for, but how's it going to be? Well, there's going to be this man named Boaz that we're going to see in just a little bit that is what's called the kinsman redeemer. He's the closest family relative that's going to end up marrying Ruth and taking care of her. Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. He's the one that grafts us in from a foreign land so that we can have a relationship with him and he can provide for us. The Lord will provide. I want you to say that on the count of three with me, all campuses. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The Lord will provide. We're going to see that all throughout the scriptures. But the way that the Lord provides here for Ruth is she takes the initiative to contribute. She says, "Naomi, we need food. I'm younger. I'm stronger. Can I go to the fields? And can I work and can I glean?" And what a gleaner would do was follow behind the harvest people and take whatever was left that they could find. So she's gleaning from the fields. She says, "Can I do that?" She goes out. She could have stayed at home. She's a foreign woman, a Moabite going into Israel fields. One of the enemies of God was the Moabites. She could have been mistreated. She could have been taken advantage from. She's just going to glean scraps. She sure could have waited for somebody to just bring her something. But she takes the initiative. Here's what I like to say. Faith is active. Faith is active. Single adults, you want to get married? Awesome. Don't just sit in your house and wait for somebody to knock on the door and say, "I'm your husband." If that happens, that probably is not your husband, okay? That's a weird person is who that is. Maybe Amazon Prime, but it's not your husband, all right? Active, get involved, brush your teeth, comb your hair, right? Go to where the right people are, be active and involved. Here's the way I love how it's said by a pastor. He said it like this: God hits moving targets. God hits moving targets. You want to go higher in your employment? You be the one that shows up early. You be the one that stays late. You be the one that says, "What else can I do?" And you take the initiative to do that. God does not reward laziness. God rewards initiative. If you and I are going to be blessable, then we've got to move forward and say, "God, we want to move forward in that way." As a Christian, of course, we trust that God is in control, and he has a plan for us. We know that, but we don't want to just wallow around in our hardship. She could have just whined and said, "I'm a widow, and I'm with my mother-in-law now, and here I am in Israel, and these aren't my people." She says, "No, I'm going to go, and I'm going to glean from the fields. We're going to go out." Verse 3 is going to give us our second point, and here's what it says. So Ruth left and entered the fields to gather the grain behind the harvesters. That's what a gleaner did. She happened, I want you to underline or circle happened, to be in the portion of the field that belongs to Boaz, who was from Elimelech's family. Number 2, trust God's timing is best. Trust God's timing is best. For us to be blessable, we've got to trust God's timing's best. So we're going to jump out an initiative. That doesn't mean it's going to come as soon as we want it, but we got to trust that God's timing is best. So Ruth goes out into the field, and I love what it says there. She happened to be in the portion of the field that belonged to Boaz. This is a word here that basically means you're not going to believe what happened. You ever say anything like that? Chance upon chance upon chance. We showed up at the right time. We showed up at the right moment. I showed you at the end of chapter one, they come back from the foreign land of Moab. They've been disobedient to God to run there because there's a famine, and they come back right at the time of the barley harvest. Perfect timing. Here she is. She steps into the perfect field. If you take the initiative, you're going to have a story of, you're not going to believe what happened. At that moment, my boss walked by and I wasn't on solitaire. I was actually working, and he saw that. It was great. And so here we have this moment, this perfect moment of God's timing. How did Esther put it, or actually Mordecai put it? For such a time as this, you maybe have come to this position. She's happens to be in the right place at the right time. We as believers, we call that sovereignty. We call that providence. We call that favor. We call that God's will. Now, other people call it luck. We're going to say it's God, and that God's putting something together so that he can provide. It's not random the job that you have right now. It's not random the house that you live in. It's not random the friends that you have. It's not random the skills and abilities God's given you. He's given you those things so that you could intersect at the right moment, at the right time, for God to do something so that you can give a witness. I was at the grocery store just a couple days ago, got a couple things, and got to the register, and it turned out to be $19.86 was the price. So you know how it was. I got like two things, and I'd be like $4. But now it's $19.86, so $19.86, and the cashier says, $19.86, that was a great year. And I said, and I thought, I'm going to go for it. I said, it sure was. That was the year I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And she said, 1986, okay, you know, no. She said, well, that's a good thing that happened that year. And I said, yes, it was. It changed my life. God bless you. And took my stuff. And, when you know, there's other people coming. I didn't have time to give the whole gospel with. But I thought, I'm just going to go for it. Not happenstance that I'm here at this register at this time, at this moment, and the thing comes out to be the year that I was saved. I'm going to give witness to that. That's a moment to be able to do that. I can do that with a smile, and she received it with a smile, and it planted a seed so that you can go through her line later. And something may happen that God uses you in her life as well. God is working. We just got to wait. If you're working in the field, just keep waiting on Boaz. He's coming. We'll see it in just a second. Wait on God to come. There's a song that I love. It's called Seasons by Hillsong. And here's just a piece of it. It says this: you're the God of seasons. I'm just in the winter. All I know of harvest is that it's worth my patience. I love this. Then if you're not done working, God, I'm not done waiting. Isn't that great? If you're not done working, I'm not done waiting. Don't the best things take longer? Don't the best things take longer? Think about the grocery store. I saw a thing of gumbo. Frozen gumbo, $4.79. I didn't buy it. My family's from Louisiana. Let me tell you, that's great. I'm sure it's good. That's good. You put it in the microwave for 2.5 minutes and let it, you know, pull back the saran wrap and then eat it out of the plastic bowl with your plastic. Let me tell you about gumbo. My grandmother used to make gumbo in Crowley, Louisiana, and she'd get that roux all day long. And that chicken and sausage gumbo my grandmother made, it is far better than something you can warm up in two minutes and 30 seconds. That's the real thing. Let me tell you what, you wait. I wait. We have to wait on God to get that roux, if you will. God to heat that up. God to season it just right. I asked her one time in grade school, they had, you know, you put in recipes, they make a cookbook for Mother's Day and you give it to the mom. I said, Granny, will you give me the recipe to your gumbo? She said, I don't know the recipe, Greg. I just make it. I've been making it for so many years. I don't even know what the recipe is. I just do it. I just taste and I see and I just work on it all day long. You and I want that. That's the kind of life we want. Wait on God to put you in Boaz's field. You want Isaac, not Ishmael. Trust in the Lord and let him do it. But we have so much of things. We just want it fast, don't we? Now, let's look at our third point. Here's what it is. Posture yourself with humility and gratitude. To be blessable, we want to posture ourselves with humility and gratitude. Now, let's see it in the scripture. It's going to be a big chunk we're going to read, verses 4 through 10. But watch what happens. I'm going to give you a little commentary through it, but let's watch with gratitude and humility. Let's see if we can find those characteristics here in Ruth. Later, verse 4, later when Boaz, strength, noble man of character, arrived from Bethlehem, house of bread, place of Jesus's birth, Boaz is our Christ figure in this story. He said to the harvesters, what kind of boss is this? Listen to this boss. The Lord be with you. He's an employer that blesses his people. The people respond, the Lord bless you. There's good morale on his workforce, they replied. Boaz asked his servant who was in charge of the harvesters, whose young woman is this? He's asking about her family. The servant answered, she is a young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the territory of Moab. The enemies of God are in Moab. She asked, will you let me gather fallen grain among the bundles behind the harvesters? She came and has been on her feet since early morning, except that she rested a little in the shelter. Do you see her work ethic, her initiative? Verse 8, then Boaz said to Ruth, listen, my daughter, don't go and gather grain in another field. Don't leave this field, but stay here close to my female servants. See which field they are harvesting and follow them. So he's directing her to the best places. Haven't I ordered the young men not to touch you? He's protecting her. When you are thirsty, go and drink from the water jars the young men have filled. Interesting. In this culture, the women filled the water jars, not the men. But here the men, and he says, I want you to go to the guys' water jars. Remember the story of the woman at the well? That whole story in the New Testament? So here we have, go to those water jars. I want to provide for you like this. Here it is, verse 10. She fell face down and bowed to the ground and said to him, why have I found favor with you so that you notice me, although I am a foreigner? To be blessable, the third thing we do is we posture ourselves with humility and gratitude. Why is she grateful? I gave it to you as we were going along the scripture, verse 8. She's grateful for the stability he's giving her. He's saying, don't go to the other field. You stay right here. There's stability. He's grateful for the direction that he gave her. She's grateful for that. See which field they're harvesting? Follow those people. I want to give you direction. God gives us stability. God gives us direction. He gave her protection. I told the young men, don't touch her. You touch her, you're going to have to answer to me. He's protecting her. He's giving provision to drink from the water jars of the young men. What does God do? God gives us stability. God gives us direction. God gives us protection. God gives us provision. Boaz is symbolic of Jesus in our life. He's from Bethlehem. Do you see all the connects? He's from Bethlehem. He's a man of noble character, and he's providing for a foreigner that is coming into the fields of Jerusalem. And so are we as we ask Jesus to be our Savior. Jesus provides for us. Jesus grafts us in. Jesus brings us in. And the response, just as our response to Christ should be, the response, excuse me, of Ruth to Boaz is she falls face down. That's what you see in heaven. That's what you see happen when we worship. Falls face down and bows before Boaz because he has taken notice of her. And she says, how have I found favor in your eyes? Why? Let's just talk about the culture we live in. Entitlement is different than humility. And we're all expecting everything. Let's be humble when we receive it. Instead of complaining about what God hasn't given you, let's celebrate what God has given you, right? Count your blessings one by one. So when we go through difficult times, we say, Lord, I'm thankful. I'm grateful. Even medical research tells us this, that an entitlement mentality can lead to conflict in relationships, unhappiness, disappointment, and depression. Here's what I would say about Ruth. She's still amazed by grace. Not just a song to sing, it's a posture of her heart. I like to say it like this, and you've heard me say it before. God didn't give us another thing. He's already given us too much. He didn't give you and me another thing. He's already given us too much. So we posture ourselves with humility. Students, I want you to hear me loud and clear. Please and thank you have not gone out of style. Yes, sir, and no, sir, are still great doors to open up, or great words to open up doors for you. You show respect, you show gratitude, and you will be in a blessable place, not in trying to manipulate God or be some type of person that's not sincere with it, but a sincerity of the heart. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, please, because I'm not expecting it. Thank you, because I'm grateful for it. You see it? And to let those things come into our lives, that's Ruth. She's realizing the blessing. Now let's look at verse 11 and 12. Look at verse 11 and 12, and then I'll give you our point. Verse 11, Boaz answered her, "Everything you have done for your mother-in-law since your husband's death has been fully reported to me." Okay, since her husband's death, that's years ago. "And how you left your father and mother and your native land from Moab, and how you came to a people you did not previously know. May the Lord reward you for what you have done, and may you receive a full reward from the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Do you remember back in chapter 1, verse 16? She says, "My God will be your God." Ruth becomes a believer in Jehovah, the one true God, the Jewish God. We would say she trusted Christ as her Savior would be the New Testament way of saying that. So she's become a believer in God. And here Boaz says, "I've heard everything that you've done for your mother-in-law for all these years. I've been hearing about it. And I know that God's going to reward you because you have been serving the Lord by serving your mother-in-law." Here's the point. If we're going to be blessable, here's our fourth one. Build character in the dark that becomes a blessing in the light. Build character in the dark that becomes a blessing in the light. Here she is. Nobody's looking. She's in Moab. And she's honoring Naomi. And she says, "Where you lie, I will lie. Where you sleep, I will sleep. Where you walk, I will walk. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. And I'm going to follow God as I'm following you. And I'm going to go back to Israel. I'm not going to know what's going to happen." She oftentimes is called Ruth the Moabitess. So it's still hanging on, her past. You feel like your past before Christ sometimes is still hanging on. Well, hers is hanging on. And instead, she says, "Lord, I'm just going to trust you." And Boaz says, "I saw this. I saw what was happening. And I'm going to bless you because of what you did in the dark." When we walk in character before God, it makes us blessable before God. God sees everything. Is that comforting to you or concerning to you? Hope it's comforting that you go, "Lord, you've seen the prayers. God, you've seen the tears. God, you've seen me read my Bible when nobody's seeing me read my Bible. God, you see who I am. Integrity is who you are in the dark when no one's watching. You see my heart, Lord." And then that makes the light to be able to shine, to be a blessing. Ruth did not know that her faithfulness would be rewarded, but God did. Our obedience today may lead to blessings tomorrow. Our obedience today may lead to things that we don't see later coming. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says this, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God," listen, "so that he may exalt you at the proper time." God chooses the proper time. Humble yourself so that he may exalt you at the proper time. Be obedient in obscurity, so that you can be blessed in the ways that the Lord wants to bless you. Now, I want to show you a 2.5-minute video that is either going to put a smile on your face or a tear in your eye. Either way, probably both. It is of this point, you do something right and you didn't know anybody was watching, and a blessing sure may come. Let's watch this together.
A chance encounter at a fast food restaurant changed a young man's life. Steve Hartman has the story on the road.
You want a Whopper with cheese?
At this Burger King in Decatur, Georgia, 18-year-old Mikhail Baker is known for his Whopper of a work ethic. Shows up early, stays late, and looks at every shift like it's a privilege.
I like helping people and not expecting anything back from me. That's just me.
So you'd be working at Burger King whether you got paid or not?
Yeah. I knew all the good I put out here was going to come back to me somehow.
It's amazing how it worked out.
Yes, I...
Mikhail McKenna Quayeric Baker.
It was graduation night just a couple weeks ago. Mikhail left the ceremony and dropped by Burger King for a late meal. And that's when he noticed his colleagues were absolutely swamped with orders. At this point, most kids would have just been glad they had the night off and been on their way. But instead, Mikhail did what Mikhail does.
I wouldn't even clock in. I just put gloves on and said, what y'all need help with, basically.
So, with this sash and medal still draped around his neck, Mikhail hopped on the line. The whole thing caught on camera by a customer who couldn't believe her eyes.
There's not a lot of people who are like that.
This is Maria Mendoza.
13 years of school. You graduate. The last thing I would think is somebody go to work.
Maria was so impressed, she posted the video online and started a crowdfunding campaign to reward the kid for his integrity and dedication. She raised more than $200,000. Mikhail plans to use that money to go to trade school, become a master auto mechanic, and open his own shop. That's his mother, Demetia. Demetia says she always told her son to work hard, even when you think no one is watching.
I'm so proud of him.
Because you never know when someone is. Steve Hartman, on the road in Decatur, Georgia.
Can we give a clap for that? Let me tell you what. Any employer in our church that just saw that video would hire that young man for any job they had, because they would know what he does when no one's watching is a person of integrity. And then a great blessing came. And that's exactly what happened with Ruth. Number 5 out of 6. Work hard as a steward of God's gifts. Work hard as a steward of God's gifts. Let's look at verse 15. When she got up to gather the grain, Boaz ordered his young men, let her even gather grain among the bundles. Don't humiliate her. He's still taking care of her. Pull out some of the stalks from the bundles for her and leave them for her to gather. Don't rebuke her. So now I want you to leave stuff for her. Verse 17. So Ruth gathered grain in the field until evening, and she beat out what she had gathered, and it was about 26 quarts. Now that is several weeks of food of barley. And she picked up the grain and went into town where her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought out what she had left over from her meal and gave it to her. So here she realizes everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. You see it? So she goes out in the field and Boaz begins to bless her. And then she's coming home now with weeks worth of food. Gleaner's not supposed to have that happen, just a little bit, maybe daily bread kind of stuff. She's coming back with weeks. And instead of hoarding it, she says, Naomi, this is yours. Working hard as a steward of God's gifts, realizing that it all belongs to God. Let us all work hard, but let us steward the blessings we've been given. Ruth is given a great opportunity. She is blessed by Boaz, but that does not mean that she stores it all herself and keeps it all herself. The blessings from God are not just for our satisfaction, but for our stewardship. So I just ask you, be blessable. I ask you, and ask my own heart, are we stewarding well the things that God gives us? Are you stewarding your time well? Are you stewarding your finances well? Are you stewarding your relationships well? How are those being stewarded? Is the first check you write to God's work? Or is the first check you write to your cell phone bill? Is God using your finances to further his kingdom? Or is God blessing you and you're keeping it to just further your kingdom and your stuff? Man, I just want you to know, I know everybody gets nervous when church starts talking about giving. We're not in a capital campaign. We're not trying to raise money for anything, but just the ministry we're already doing, all those things. But I'm telling you this, I've been a giver since I was about 16 years old. So that's about 40 years now. It is a blessing to be a giver. It is a blessing. So let me just tell you, if you're not tithing, if you're not giving regularly, if there's not a percentage and you're growing in that, let me just tell you, it's flat out, you're ripping yourself off. You're ripping yourself off. You are. 17 givers are clapping right now at the Loop. So let's just all clap so we all feel good. Let's just feel good. All campuses. You're ripping yourself off. You don't know what God could do in your life. Be blessable by realizing when the harvest grows, the giving grows. When the harvest grows, the sharing grows, and you take care of the people that are around you. What a blessing. I love what William Carey, the father of modern day mission, says, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. So we trust that he can provide in those ways. We don't want to just spiritually coast. We want to keep walking. We want to keep stewarding. We want to keep giving and caring for Naomi, if you will, and to bless in that way. So I just encourage you, are you wasting your time? Are you wasting your money? Are you wasting your platform that God's given you? Are you wasting anything like that? If you are, just take a step. Just take a step. If you're not giving anything, start giving something regularly. Then watch God take care of you, and then just keep giving and grow that. Growing up, I understand it's hard to just jump in at 10%, or, you know, and people are always like, well, we don't believe in the tithe. It says give whatever in your heart. So look, if you don't want to give 10%, give 12. That's fine. It doesn't matter. Okay. But don't make an excuse to give two or nothing or 20 bucks to God. Be a steward, be blessable. Do you remember what we read in the quiet time? God gives things to people who they won't be ruined by them. Number six, and I can't believe I got to number six and we're still on time. Number six, stay close to the right people. Stay close to the right people. Look at verse 22 and 23. So Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, Ruth, my daughter, it's good for you to work with this female servants, so that nothing will happen to you in another's field. I like just that first part. It's good for you to work. It's good for us to work. You know that? So that nothing will happen. There's protection there. So stay in those fields is what she's saying. Ruth stayed close to Boaz's female servants and gathered the grain until the barley and wheat harvests were finished. And she lived with her mother-in-law. I love how that ends. Stay close to the right people. She stays with the female servants in that right field and she gathers that up. Are there people that are pulling you away from God's best for your life? Now, we all have a witness to folks that don't know the Lord or not walking with the Lord. I'm not ever calling anybody to leave all the friends that don't walk with God. I'm just asking, is there groups of people in your life that they're pulling you into stuff you don't need to be pulled into? Instead, you ought to be pulling them into stuff that they do need to be pulled into. For your good, Naomi tells her, this is for your good. Glean from others. Here's what you want to do. Young people in particular, listen. You want to get close to people of wisdom so you can glean from them. You want to be close to your boss, not just so you can get something, so you can learn from him or her. You want to be able to say, well, what could it be? What would that be like? I'm getting old enough now. I had a conversation with a young pastor, called me, and we talked for 30 minutes. He's just taking notes, not because I'm so smart, but just because I've been doing it a while. And so you're able to glean from people. That's a blessing. So she says, stay close to those who are in that field. They know where to go. They know where to get the right grain and barley. They know what's happening. And so you stay there. And you end up in that place. And then I love what happens. We're going to see it next week. Ruth stayed close to Boaz's female servants and gathered the grain until the barley harvest and wheat harvest were finished. And she lived with her mother-in-law. That's probably about 6 to 7 weeks. Because next week we're going to see her and Boaz get together. Okay. But I don't want you to think it's like, well, next day, that was fast. It's a few weeks until this is all happening. That's fast enough. But to be able to see that happening. So here's what I'm trying to tell you. Be blessable. How are we blessable? We're blessable by taking the initiative to contribute. We're taking the initiative to contribute. We're blessable by trusting that God's timing is best. We're blessable by posturing ourselves with humility and gratitude make us blessable. We build character in the dark that shines in the light. We're blessable. We help at Burger King when it's time to help. We work hard, but as stewards of God's gifts, not as I'm owed something. And then six, and finally, we stay close to the right people. And what happens is you develop a life where you're like, Lord, just forget me not. Forget me not, Lord. I want you, Lord, to see my commitment and my devotion to you because I've seen your commitment and devotion to me. And the meet cute moment, it's not just Ruth and Boaz. There's something deeper. And it's far more than meet cute. It's meet for eternal life change moment. When we see that Boaz is symbolic of Christ, watch, and you and I have been doing a whole lot in a foreign land with the enemies of God. And we realize that we don't have what we need here. And so we're going to turn and we're going to come back to the land of God, if you will, to Israel, to come in Jesus Christ, our Boaz, our kinsman redeemer, our relative, because our eternal father, he is his son. And so he's going to graft us in and we can glean from his fields. He can change our lives. He takes us under his wings in salvation in Christ. And now Jesus, when you ask him, I want you to save my soul, wash me clean. I want you to be my savior. Jesus comes into our hearts and lives. And we say, I'm never going to another field again. What's the Lord's prayer say? Forgive us our trespasses. What is trespassing? It's going on the wrong field. Forgive us our trespasses, Moab. And those who have trespassed against us, lead us not into temptation, you know the rest of the prayer, but to say, God, we want to stay in the field with you. And everything we get in your field, we just give it back to you. We're givers, we're encouragers, we're prayer warriors. We trust in you. It's not, oh, I got it out of your field and it's mine. I got it out of your field and it's yours, God. What do you want to do with it? So, church, Siena, Cyprus, downtown, Digital Family, Luke, let's be blessable by being faithful. And I can promise you this, he will never forget you, never leave you, never forsake you. He is the savior of forget me not. He will never forget you. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, so much for Ruth and Boaz, this amazing, true story. God, the Lord will provide. And we just saw it. So let us live out these things so that we could be blessable. It wouldn't ruin us. It would grow us as we give it all to you. What'd you hear from God today? What'd he speak to your heart today? I just want you to return that to him in prayer and say, Lord, I heard you. Yes, I want that to be different. I agree with you. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, at all of our campuses, we'd love nothing more than to tell you about a relationship with Jesus and how to be a part of this fellowship of the church. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.